to the Kitchen Party Kaylee, Celtic music from across the globe and across town. I'm Dave Baghdad, and I'm so glad you could join us. On tonight's program, we'll have music and conversation with clawhammer banjoist Ken Perlman. Thanks for being here. Cade Mila Falcha, you're very welcome here for this 507th edition of the Kitchen Party Kaylee. I'm your host, Dave Baghdad, and we have a great show for you. Some things you may know, and a lot you probably don't. We've got a very special program for you this time, so let me tell you what's on the go. We're going to have music from and conversation with Ken Perlman, a name probably not known to many of you. Ken plays and teaches the clawhammer banjo, an instrument and technique not often employed in the kind of music we play on this show, and even then, primarily in a backup role. Clawhammer playing is generally and simplistically considered as part of the pre-bluegrass music known as old time, with roots in the Appalachians, the Blue Ridge Mountains, and similar. The name clawhammer comes from the basic technique, which involves a sort of 1-2-and feel, where the one is a quarter note played on the back end of the fingernail on the long banjo strings, and then an eighth note plucked by the thumb on the fifth or drone string, and then another eighth note strummed with the backs of the fingers. Here's a little bit of what it sounds like. I've been a lover of clawhammer playing since I first heard it as a teen, but it's regarded as a tool for providing drive and accompaniment rather than note-for-note melodies, and the idea of playing Celtic tunes on clawhammer banjo would strike many as outrageous, if not actually impossible. As a counterpoint to that, here's Ken Perlman playing a traditional Irish reel, the rakish paddy. Thank you. A bit of a difference there, as I'm sure you can well hear. Ken can tell his story way better than I can, and he will in just a bit, but I'll mention that Ken came to my attention when I was about 17 on a collection called Melodic Clawhammer Banjo, a bunch of clawhammer players eschewing the spare melodies and backups of old time in favor of something closer to note-for-note renditions of mountain and Celtic tunes. In the decades to follow, Ken's colleagues on that record drifted into other fields, and Kent went in the opposite direction, diving headlong into collecting, preserving, and performing Celtic melodies. He's released 4 albums featuring this music, as well as a brand new book, Cape Breton and Prince Edward Island Fiddle Tunes for Clawhammer Banjo. And in fact, 23 of the 26 tunes you'll hear from Ken this evening are included in that book. Before we go further, let's have some more music from Ken. Rakish Patty appears on his 1993 CD, Devil in the Kitchen, his first primarily Celtic CD, and we'll move on to the third such disc, Northern Banjo, released in 2001. First up is a set of jigs, the Rock Valley Jig, a central Canadian tune popularized by Don Messer, followed by Light and Airy and the Munster Lass, respectively an 18th century Scottish tune and a 19th century Irish one. We'll follow that with a hornpipe set. So here's more from Ken Perlman on the Kitchen Party Cayley. Thank you. Two tracks there from Ken Perlman, both from his 2001 CD, Northern Banjo. That was a medley of the Poppy Leaf, a New England tune popularized in the 50s by Winston Scotty Fitzgerald, the Stack of Barley, which is Irish, and East Nuke of Bear River, a PEI variant on the Scottish tune East Nuke of Fife. Before that, we had a set of Canadian, Scottish, and Irish jigs, the Rock Valley Jig, Light and Airy, and the Munster Lass. And you can find transcriptions of all six of those tunes in Ken's latest book, Cape Breton and Prince Edward Island Fiddle Tunes for Clawhammer Banjo. I've been a fan of Ken's for many decades, and his new book on a topic so near and dear to me seemed like a great opportunity to have him on the show. So here's my conversation with Ken Perlman, exclusively on The Kitchen Party Kaylee. Well, first of all, welcome to our humble airwaves.
Thanks for inviting me.
I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, but the thing that really drove me to want to speak with you was, of course, your brand new book focusing on clawhammer banjo arrangements of tunes from Prince Edward Island and Cape Breton.
Oh, great, yes. This has been a major interest of mine for probably since the late 80s. So
I want to come to that in just a minute, but first let me take you back just a little bit. You actually didn't start playing the banjo until about age 20.
That's right. I started on the guitar. I was finishing up college in Ithaca, New York, and we had a wonderful group of banjoists who were in my immediate surroundings, and I kind of got inspired. I was looking for another musical interest also. I was feeling a little frustrated with my guitar playing, so I said, oh, I'm going to try the banjo. From the minute I had it in hand, I kind of had an instinctive mind meld with the instrument.
You also really had proximity to the first wave of banjo revivalists.
I wouldn't call it the first wave. It's about probably 25 years after the first wave, but certainly it was a major wave of what later became known as melodic players just developing in my immediate surroundings. And Howie Burson was maybe about 2 or 3 years ahead of me on the instrument, and Walt Culkin was in the immediate surround. And then there were several other players that never became professional players, but they were still very good. I learned from them by watching and listening.
And you had the audacity of youth, too. You've talked about being in jam situations and people saying, well, you can sit this one out because everybody knows you can't play this tune on clawhammer banjo or you can't play this jig.
Yeah, right. I always tell that story, and then I would go home and say, oh, they're probably right, but let's see. Let's just see if I can. And then I would figure it out, and the next week I would come to the session and people would say, oh, wow, look at that. That's an incentive.
Skipping ahead a little bit, I first became aware of you when I picked up an album on Kicking Mule Records called Melodic Clawhammer Banjo.
Well, this was just kind of developing. I had grown up in New York, but I was away for college and afterwards, and then I kind of landed back in New York, maybe 73 or 74. I found there was this whole little banjo community, and people were starting to play melodically, and we were sort of feeding off each other. Oh, look what I figured out. Oh, yeah, well, I figured this out, sort of pushing each other, and Henry Sapoznik was there, and Bob Carlin, who organized that project, was actually a little later to the banjo world. You know, he hit it with gangbusters when he finally did take up the banjo, and he produced this recording, and it kind of launched all of our careers, I think. It was a cool recording. Stood the test of time, as they say.
Yeah, I'd say so. When I first heard that, most of the clawhammer playing that I had heard was from mountain groups in North Carolina and Virginia and that sort of thing. And hearing what you guys did on that record, it was mind-blowing.
Well, it was certainly different, and in a way, at that time, we didn't even know what to call it at first, because there were all kinds of names floating around. But I guess when it came to the recording, that's when the name finally came up, and I think it was analogy to what Bill Keith was doing in Bluegrass Banjo, which was called Melodic Banjo, so we became Melodic Clawhammer Banjo. And I think it was an apt name, but it was kind of a reaction against people playing mostly just rhythm and chords, which was what most of, quotes, frailing, which is what people called it at the time. That's most of what you heard. And then it was about some years later when the whole round peak thing hit and people kind of went off in that direction. There began to be a little bit of a hostility in the old time scene toward the melodic clawhammer approach.
Well, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with Round Peak.
Well, Round Peak is a small area. It's right around Mount Airy, North Carolina. That's where Andy Griffith came from. And up in the hills there, a very strong traditional music community developed in the 30s, 40s, 50s, based on what had been there before. And a very distinctive clawhammer banjo style developed that was based on melding perfectly with the fiddle, which is a good thing. I actually just did a transcription project of most of the major players in there, Tommy Jarrell and Fred Cockrum and Kyle Creed. As Art Rosenbaum, one of my early inspirations, said, well, it's interesting, even though people say the Round Peak banjo wasn't melodic, it was a lot more melodic than most of the other traditional styles that people played. And he was pretty much right about that, but they were very limited in the combinations of strings and in the things that they did. Some of the things that me and my melodic contemporaries did very early on were things that you never find in Round Peak playing, but it is a very compelling style, and it became sort of a fashion in the old-time community, and people sort of felt, well, this is a true traditional way to play the banjo. The way that these particular players developed to play clawhammer in this one little region in a particular set of decades, and it's wonderful stuff, but it's not the only way to approach things. But in a sense, some melodic playing got a bad name. To some people, it sounded like just a bunch of notes. I would say that my earliest challenge, and something I've devoted a lot of my artistic attention on, is how to make the tune sound alive to match the phrasing of the fiddle. And that requires not only the notes, but setting it or arranging it on the instrument in such a way so that it sounds like the tune. You've created the same phrasing and feel of the original fiddling. That's the big challenge of melodic playing.
Part one of my conversation with clawhammer banjo specialist Ken Perlman, and we'll get back to our chat in a moment. Let's take a break and go to Ken's most recent record, 2017's Frails and Frolics, and we'll hear Pride of the Ball, a PEI variant of a 19th century Irish tune, McKinnon's Rant, a Scottish tune first published in 1820, and a possibly even older Scottish tune, Lasses of Glenaladale, and St. Kilda Wedding, which is popular both in Scotland and Cape Breton and was recorded by Winston Scotty Fitzgerald. I want to mention, too, the stellar piano accompaniment from Janine Randall. So here's Ken Perlman on The Kitchen Party Kaylee. Thank you. Ken Perlman there on a medley of Pride of the Ball, McKinnon's Rant, Lasses of Glen Allerdale, and St. Kilda Wedding, all of which appear in his new book of Cape Breton and PEI fiddle tunes. This recording appears on Ken's 2017 CD, Frails and Frolics. And now let's get back to my chat with Ken.
Well, you talk a lot about phrasing and feel when in your teaching materials and when you talk about what it is that you do. And you also talk about being influenced by fiddlers. And I think one of the things that is key for people to remember is this is meant primarily to be dance music.
Absolutely, yeah. So the music as played has to be danceable. The fiddlers on Prince Edward Island that I met, they would play and they would kind of look around and say, well, gosh, no one is dancing. I must be doing a bad job. I must be making a bad job of it because I haven't brought you up out of your seats. So a lot of people think of the music as just jamming music, but it's actually it's just dance music. And a lot of times it was just the solo fiddle. And then it was the solo fiddle and whatever accompaniment instrument they happen to have handy. You hear a myth in the old-time music where first it was the fiddle, then it was the fiddle and the banjo, and then it was the fiddle and the banjo and the guitar, and then the bass joint. You know, that's all a myth. It was the fiddle and whatever happened to be around. Quite often it was keyboard, piano, or quite often even pump organ. So given that it's dance music, there are certain points where, as a matter of formula, you would tend to try to create a little break in the stream of notes so that you have a little imperceptible pause and then a movement in the next direction of the music. I like to quote a Scottish fiddler named Angus Grant, who said, if you can play a reel like a slow air with all the pauses, then you really understand it.
And I've actually heard you do that. I've heard you take a reel and break it down and play it as a slow air.
But each tune has its own phrasing that's overlaying upon the sort of formulaic phrasing that's required by dance music. So every type of music needs to be played musically, and that's also true of fiddle tunes on banjo.
I've heard you tell how you originally came by and to PEI and then later Cape Breton music while you were sort of looking for a project. You've devoted literally years and years of your life to learning this music, playing it, preserving it, recording it, and teaching it. So, to you, what makes PEI and Cape Breton music so darn awesome?
Let me first start that I didn't just come to the music because I was looking for a project, although that was sort of the proximal cause, but there's sort of a long background where, you know, I had been playing Irish music and Scottish music quite a bit ahead of time. I had developed a love for Celtic music. So in the late 80s, I had entered a PhD program, and I was going to do a thesis on Scottish music, but I just decided at some point that this wasn't like a viable thing for me, so I kind of declared victory at the master's level. But I had sent out a bunch of letters, remember letters, to Scottish fraternal organizations looking for financial help, and I got one letter back. It said, well, we can't give you any money, but we have a house on Prince Edward Island, and we have lots of fiddlers up here. Maybe you'd like to take a look. If you wanted to come, we'll feed you, house you, and show you around. So I was looking for a vacation and something to do that summer, and so I went up there, and all of a sudden I met all these wonderful fiddle players, and I thought, gee, nobody knows about this. This is kind of really interesting. So a few months later, I was in the D.C. area doing a gig, and I went to the Library of Congress Folklore Division, and they had a very thin book there. It was called Opportunities in Folklore.
Yeah, it would be a thin book.
Yeah, and I was thumbing through it, and there was a page that said Call for Projects, and it was from an organization called Earth Watch, which happened to be in the Boston area. So I sent them a proposal that I would go up to Prince Edward Island and record these fiddle players. And in a matter of days, I heard back from them, and they said, yes, we want to do that. And they kind of ushered me through the project. Before I knew it, the next summer, I was up there looking for a place where we could rent. And one of the fiddlers up there said, well, you can rent our family's old house, which is now unoccupied. In 1991, I found myself with a whole team of people and a whole bunch of tape and batteries and videotape and equipment, and we were off and running. And from the very beginning, I just was just totally enthralled by the music and the musicians and powerful, wonderfully rhythmic, danceable feel of the music and the beautiful melodies and, you know, and also the kindness and warmth of the people. To record them, and from their point of view, it was like a house party. Do the recording, and then their family members would come out with tea and snacks, and we'd have a jam session, and it's just a wonderful experience. So once they saw I had an instrument, they would, of course, make me play along with them. So I not only internalized the general feel of the music, but as soon as I started to transcribe it, I began to want to play it on banjo, and it just totally suited to the instrument and to Clawhammer style in its feel.
Since when you've gone on to make four albums primarily based on all sorts of Celtic tunes, including a lot of the ones that you heard and collected. And one of the things that strikes me is, I think one of the difficulties in playing that sort of music on any instrument other than the fiddle is really achieving the authenticity. And that's one of the things that really impressed me on your albums, is the way that you have a lot of the fiddle techniques bound into what you do. I heard those triplets on the Captain Campbell set, and I'm thinking, those are fiddle triplets.
Well, I try. There are some things I wish I could do better, but I try really hard to get the ornamentation and the feel, and as I said before, the phrasing. And of course, it helps sometimes to have accompanists who know the tradition, like Janine Randall on piano and Frails and Frolics, and Kevin Chasen from Prince Edward Island on Island Boy. And so that really helps too. But there's a certain rhythmic kick to the music that is so salient to Prince Edward Island and Cape Breton music. And I tried really, really hard to master that and reflect that in my arrangements and performances.
Thank you.
More music there from Ken Perlman, a medley of Captain Campbell, a 19th century Scottish Strathspey, the Cape Breton Wedding Reel, which is based on an 18th century Scottish tune, and Andrew Renwick's Ferret, composed by the latter-day Scottish piper, Gordon Duncan, and popular in both Scotland and Cape Breton. This is from Ken's 1996 LP, Island Boy, and again, all three of these tunes are transcribed in Ken's new book. And now let's wrap up my chat with Ken.
I have to preface this by saying that I am a longtime wannabe clawhammer banjo player, but at present I am not a clawhammer banjo player, and yet your new book is a tremendous resource, even for people who don't play the instrument. In addition to all the incredible arrangements that you've got and all the care and detail and explanation that you've put into how to play the tunes, there's this preface in the front where you're talking about the music itself, and then at the end you've got information about a lot of the fiddlers from whom you learned the tunes. It's just an unbelievable resource.
Oh, thank you. It was fun putting together the blurbs for each tune because as I was doing it, I was kind of reliving the original project and all the people that I met. But I also had to do a lot of research on the modern internet, which is an adventure because it was one of those trust but verify kind of experiences because you just never know if some so-called fact that you found is true or not. But it's amazing now because there are sites where it says, oh, the tune is in such and such a place, and then you can actually, in some cases, find the book on the internet. Well, in some cases, I had the book, but in other cases, I would be able to find a reprint of some obscure 19th century manual online and make sure that the piece was actually there. You know, it's kind of interesting.
So, Ken, I know that you do a lot of teaching at your own camps and at other people's camps. And in fact, you're going to be not too far up the road from here in the near future, aren't you?
That's right. Midwest Banjo Camp, which had been in Michigan for most of its existence, just last year we moved to Manchester University in North Manchester, Indiana. So it's only a couple of hours north of Indianapolis, and we have a stellar lineup of old-time and bluegrass musicians. And if anyone wants to find out more information about it, you would go to my website or to MidwestBanjoCamp.com and get all the good information.
So for people who are interested in your CDs, your books, your camps, and other information you may have online about yourself and what you're doing, what's the best way for them to find that info?
Well, you could go to kenperlman.com, and Perlman has no A in Pearl, so it's P-E-R-L-M-A-N, K-E-N-P-E-R-L-M-A-N.com, or just send me an email, ken@kenperlman.com. That'll do it. I usually respond to most emails that people send me. As long as they're polite, it'd be great to hear from you.
Well, Ken, congrats again on the really, really exciting new book. We wish you the best of luck with that and with everything else that you've got on the go.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you.
The conclusion there of my conversation with Ken Perlman. And if you want more information on how to order his book or his CDs, you can visit kenperlman.com. Also, he mentioned Midwest Banjo Camp, but didn't give the dates. So I'll tell you, it's June 6th through 9th up at Manchester University in North Manchester, Indiana. It's described as 72 hours of banjo immersion. In addition to old time and bluegrass, there are programs for jazz tenor banjo, as well as bluegrass fiddle, guitar, and mandolin. You can find more info at MidwestBanjoCamp.com. Let's hear some jigs, including Kimmer's Away, a Scottish melody known to many titles and which was once set to lyrics by Robert Burns, and two Cape Breton tunes, Wilfred's Fiddle, written by Dan R. MacDonald, and Jackson's Jig. We'll follow that with a march and reel set, so here's more from Ken Perlman on the Kitchen Party Cayley. Thank you.
Ken Perlman, and you're listening to The Kitchen Party Kaylee.
We've been hearing tonight from Ken Perlman, the East Coast clawhammer banjo player and educator, and we had a pair of excellent tracks there. That was a medley of some of my personal favorites, beginning with the Marchioness of Tullibardine, a Scottish pipe march from the mid-19th century. That was followed by two reels, Dinkies, written by Donegal fiddler Francie Byrne, who named it for his friend, Huey Dorian, whose nickname was Dinky, and the tune is also sometimes known as Dinky Dorian. And then Little Donald in the Pigpen, popularized by the Rankin family, but probably original to PEI. This is from Ken's 2017 album, Frails and Frolics. Before that, we had a set of jigs, Kemmer's Awa, Wilfred's Fiddle, and Jackson's Jig, from Northern Banjo, released in 2001. And again, all six of these tunes are included in Ken's latest book of banjo transcriptions. We've time for one more block before the finale, and I don't want to overlook the fact that with all of Ken's talents on the banjo, he's also a great fingerstyle guitarist. To honor that fact, we'll go back to his 1983 album, Clawhammer Banjo and Fingerstyle Guitar Solos, and we'll have his arrangement of Madame Bonaparte. From there, we'll have one more killer banjo medley, So here we go with Ken Perlman on Kitchen Party Kaylee.
Thank you.
That was Ken Perlman, the man of the hour, on a fierce March Strathspey Reel, or MSR medley, beginning with Stella's Trip to Kamloops, a fiddle march composed by Patricia Chafe, daughter of Cape Breton fiddler Winnie Chafe. That was followed by Devil in the Kitchen, a much-played Strathspey collected and arranged but not composed by James Scott Skinner, and then The High Reel, another Scott's tune popular on both sides of the Atlantic. Before that, we had a brilliant performance from Ken on the guitar, Madame Bonaparte, from Ken's 1983 solo debut on Folkways Records, clawhammer banjo and fingerstyle guitar solos. Next time out, we're going to begin an in-depth focus on Irish fiddler Kevin Burke, including some fascinating conversation and a tribute to the Bothy Band. Stay tuned for that. We're getting near the end of our show for today. I hope you've enjoyed our time together, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Reach us by email at kitchenpartykaylee, that's all one word, and Kaylee is CEILIDH, at gmail.com, by Twitter at @KPC_radio, or through our Facebook page. You can find podcasts and playlists from all our shows at iTunes, Google, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Audible, Odyssey, Amazon Prime Music, iHeartRadio, and at kpc-radio.com. For our final track this week, we'll hear Ken Perlman and Where the North River Flows. Until next time, I am your host, Dave Baghdad, and I thank you for listening. We'll see you here again next Sunday at 10 p.m. Slán ogat. You've been listening to the Kitchen Party Kaylee on WICR 88.7 FM. This program was made possible by donations from the Friends of the Kitchen Party Kaylee. We hope that you'll join us again next Sunday at 10 p.m. The Kitchen Party Kaylee is written, produced, and hosted by Dave Bagdad and was recorded at EMAS Studios in Indianapolis. The Kitchen Party Kaylee is a Fortnite production. Thanks for listening.